live from the WGY studios every Sunday. This is the Paul Potrat Show.
Stop spraying and praying. You're wasting money.
Millennials aren't lazy. It's how you lead them.
When you sell by price, you die by price.
The Paul Potrat Show, helping your business grow and stay relevant. Covering the latest technology for business, leadership trends, and changing your mindset on marketing. Now, your hosts, Paul Potratz, the business architect, and Samantha Zewalinski, the millennial entrepreneur.
Happy Sunday, Paul. I feel like I always want to start that way.
What?
There goes the squirrel. Really? Yeah, we just started.
Sorry. Oh, hey, Sam. So, yeah, I was making notes.
So I feel like this is what we need to start the show with, because I feel like so many people listening can relate to this. So every week we come in and we joke about the squirrel, because every show it's like, oh, what just ran past us? But you said to me you couldn't sleep last night, and I immediately went, oh, no. And then we walked in and sat down, and you opened your notebook, and I said, oh, no, 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 because my show notes don't match your notebook.
Well, I think this is just a life lesson for you, my grasshopper, in this sense that you have to just go with the flow. You need to step out, not always be so organized and detailed. I mean, how many pages do you have here of all these typed up notes?
For this show, I have three, and then I have my handy dandy stopwatch.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know me all too well. I feel like you're a sister, a daughter combined, and I got this nifty new ink for my pen.
So you have to write. It's purple.
I have to write. It is purple. It's purple. I have to write. I couldn't sleep, so I'm making all these notes. So guess what?
We're not taking the pauses out today. Throw it at me.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you just have to keep me organized is what it is. So, but I think so many times, I think what happens with people, you know, that we try to stay so focused on a schedule and everything else that creativity just starts to go out the window, and we just don't like free flow. And I mean,
we need to be agile in what we do.
Yeah, we really do. I mean, do you journal?
I don't know.
You don't journal?
I don't.
Oh.
I write down the ideas that I have, but I don't journal, like diary journal.
Well, and I don't mean necessarily diary journal, but it's like I like to just sit down and just write what's coming into my mind. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it's ideas is what it is, but I mean, when was the last time I sent you an email and I said, hey, let's meet tomorrow morning, and that's all I say, and then you come in and you're like, what do you want to meet about? And then I'm like, oh, I don't know, I forgot.
Usually you leave breadcrumbs in your email so I can try and recall.
Exactly.
But I think on the ride home I get a lot of ideas, and I try and Siri them, and then I look back at them and I have no idea what macaroni and cheese was supposed to be, because Siri doesn't understand my lingo.
Yes. So it seems like I get my best ideas in the morning in the shower.
Mm-hmm.
And then just sitting out on the deck.
You know what would be great for you? What? I saw this on Amazon.
Yes.
Did you get a shower notepad?
I do have a shower notepad.
You do?
Yeah, it's too little though. It's a little small notepad. Mm-hmm. And here's the problem though. I'm starting to get blind, it feels like. I mean, I can't see as well. So I'm trying to make my notes in the shower, and then I can't read my writing afterwards.
Inside the real life of Paul Potratz.
Yes.
Well, let's get into it, and then you can bring up all your new ideas that you came up with while you couldn't sleep last night.
Okay.
So our topics for today, last week we talked about click fraud, but I really think it's moved beyond just digital. So we're going to talk about click fraud beyond digital, how leading your team isn't subjective for our leadership topic of the day, and how that correlates to KPIs for your team members, and evaluations for success are this week's downloadable item and action item of the week.
All exciting topics. I can't wait.
So let's talk about click fraud. So we talked a little bit about last week, but in case anybody missed our episode, you want to sum up what click fraud is in a little tidbit?
Sure, we can definitely do that. So click fraud, when we say the word click fraud, we're really talking about digital marketing. So for example, business owner is doing search advertising, mm-hmm. pay-per-click, and there's these bots that will go out and will click your ads and cost you money. And they're not people, they're just bots. So there's a number of ways that those happen. But what we found out, because we started talking about click fraud last week's show, so I think it's important that if somebody needs the full context, go to last week's show. But then what we found out, that there was a number of business owners that said, will you evaluate my traditional marketing? And so we started diving into radio, TV, newspaper, billboard.
Email marketing even.
Email marketing, all of, you know, anything marketing, and we knew about it. I mean, we definitely knew about it, but what the business owner thought that they were receiving and what they were actually receiving was drastically different.
And so that's kind of where we want to go with today's conversation is take a look at the report card on poetrats.com. You'll be able to sign up for that evaluation yourself. But aside from the digital aspect of it, how can we look at and how can we evaluate that traditional media or even email marketing, which is a form of digital marketing, to find out what's going on and what's happening?
Well, let me put it into context. How about we start with newspaper?
Okay.
So with newspaper, you have to really understand the numbers. And when I talk about this, like I did a couple calls last week and I talked about newspaper. So the newspaper organization will say, hey, you're reaching X number of readers. But that X number of readers does not equal the number of newspapers that are being printed. So, for example, and this is not an accurate number. I'm just throwing it out.
Okay.
So, for example, they'll say, you're reaching 175,000 readers. And in the business owner's mind, it's like, wow, 175,000 readers.
It's a good circulation.
Good. Yeah. Well, but see, there you go. Circulation. How many newspapers? There's not even 175,000 newspapers being printed. So what the newspaper organizations will do is they will measure the newspaper that they're saying every newspaper has 2.2 readers. And that was the number that they used to use. And there's other, you know, different newspaper mm-hmm. organizations. It could be 2.2, 2.6, 3.4. And that's not an accurate
number. Because it's the assumption that if you're at a cafe, three people pick up that newspaper and read it, or at the hair salon or at your home.
Right.
There's two adults in a household. They're assuming those two adults read the paper that day.
Yeah. So, I mean, let's really kind of, you know, break that down. If there is two adults in the household, are they both of the adults interested in the product or service that you're selling?
I'll tell you, I like the newspaper, but my husband will never look at it.
No. I mean, and I'm not saying that it's wrong, but I'm not saying that you're getting the entire truth.
It's not accurate, as portrayed.
Right. And that happens in everything. So, I mean, that's the newspaper. And that's why I'm really excited because, you know, the business owners that are going to our website and they're saying, hey, do a report card on this. And I feel like it's a really good refresher. I think it's a continuing education because our account managers are learning from this mm-hmm. and saying, oh, wow, yeah, it's, I mean, they all know it and they've known it for years, but sometimes we just kind of forget about the basics.
Well, and I think it's really an insightful thing as a business owner to say, hey, what about all of these other channels that I'm doing? Because I've done them for so long that I just either trust or have an establishment within that media and then continue to do it. But the statistics, the analytics, the information change so frequently that are we continuing to refresh that as we're continuing to refresh our advertising dollars?
Right. And I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I'm not saying newspaper advertising is a bad thing because all marketing is good, but you just need to be really in tune, really aware, because it could give you the opportunity to negotiate a better deal that fits into your budget to be able to diversify mm-hmm. and add additional types of marketing.
Yesterday's statistics aren't today's, so just make sure you're looking at them as frequently.
There you go.
And then I think a really good opportunity too is a lot of people still do direct mail.
Oh, yeah.
There's tons of direct mail. And I think a lot of evolving in this digital age has been doing a direct mail piece that matches with an email campaign.
Mm-hmm.
And I have seen things we shouldn't talk about probably in regards to the success of those email campaigns. So I think email is a big one that is kind of a cross between moving towards a more digital approach for a lot of businesses. But when you farm that out, what's actually happening and how is that equaling success for your business?
Right. And let me mention direct mail really quick. I'm going to tell you a really quick story. Okay. So when I started out in the agency and I was negotiating direct mail contracts and I kept on calling around trying to find someone that had a better direct mail rate. And I finally found this company that had a better rate that was better than anyone else. So far better.
Love it.
Yeah.
Maybe.
And that's what I went with.
Mm-hmm.
But then what happened, the first direct mail was great. The second direct mail wasn't so great. And the list was different. The third wasn't so great. And then I started to say, what's the problem here? It's the same message. It's the same demo and everything else. So I got a little sneaky and I entered my mailing address in there and a number of friends' mailing addresses. In fact, I did about 70 different people.
Mm-hmm.
I paid for that direct mail. And out of those 70 people, only two of them received the direct mail piece. So Long story short, I tracked it back. I was paying for 10,000 pieces, and the best we could tell, they were mailing around 2,500 pieces. So a cheap price is not always a great deal.
So it was cheap for a reason.
It was cheap for a reason. But if you really broke it down, it wasn't cheap.
No, it was quite the opposite.
So it's just a word of warning. So email marketing, I think that is critical, because there's a number of companies that have popped up that said, hey, I'll do your email marketing. I'll even find people that are not in your database and send these emails out. And, you know, a lot of times people don't even look at the analytics, the time of day. They say, oh, I got all these visits to my website. But what time of the day did you get these visits?
Yeah, 12 a.m., 2 a.m.
3 a.m.
from China. 4 a.m.
Yeah, exactly. So there you go. There's
That's your bot fraud. Example.
There's the bots.
Yeah.
But, you know, and, you know, growing up, I was always, you know, when we would negotiate a cable contract, we would call, or a radio contract, we'd call it a dollar a holler. You ever heard that?
Yep.
So they would charge me a dollar for a spot. And I'm like, oh, wow, I'm going to get 500 commercials for blank. And the same thing is happening in email marketing, but you're not getting the value.
So there's a couple of things that we look at when we look at email marketing. So you mentioned time of day, where the traffic is coming from. The other thing you can do is put tracking phone numbers in it. So you can track how many phone calls you're getting, how much traffic over to the website, how many lead forms. There's a number of different things you can set up in your analytics that will then show you the benefits of that email campaign from the initial deployment of it and then further on. So that's what exactly what we looked at when we had those individuals say, hey, can you look at other forms of media other than just my SEM and display traffic like we talked about in last week's episode?
Right. And the email marketing, you know, one of the things that we showed to a couple of businesses on the report card wasn't, this traffic was hitting their home page, but they didn't do anything else. And the traffic, was hitting the home page, not just at 2 a.m., 3 a.m., but during,
in general.
But that's all they did, is they hit the home page and they didn't go anywhere else. So in analytics, we're able to see what we call like a visitor flow or behavior flow, and it will show how an individual clicks all the way through the website. In fact, you know, some of these businesses that called, we said, let's put this code on your website, heat mapping, eye tracking code. And then it records the clicks. And I haven't looked at it yet, but I've looked at it in the past. And I guarantee you that it's just a bot, because recording the clicks, in other words, we can see how someone moves their mouse, how they scroll around your website and all that. So I think it's fascinating that, you know, the analytics and the tracking that's available, but the vast majority of people don't look at it.
And I would kind of call that like a bonus from our conversation right now, would be the availability for eye tracking, heat mapping. That's something you should think about maybe popping on your website.
Yeah.
You can get it from another of other providers. I think we mentioned a couple like Crazy Egg in last week's episode, but it's going to tell you what people are doing on your website. So regardless of evaluating what's happening in terms of actual traffic and fraud and trying to find out that bot traffic, it's also going to tell you is like what I think is most important on my website is actually what's important to my audience. I think last week in the business breakdown, we talked to Maria, and you mentioned Made in the USA took a lot of real estate. So is that really what people are engaging with, or can I better capitalize on that spot to drive a conversion and engagement through the rest of the website?
Right. Yeah. And I mean, telling the story, and I don't think I made it crystal clear to Maria, you know, Made in the USA, not so compelling, but Made by Mothers in New York, telling the story, compelling. And that's exactly, you know, eye tracking like Crazy Egg, which they have a free edition, allows you to see, are people really engaging with that? And, you know, putting an image on your website that's not clickable, you're losing an opportunity there.
100% should never have that happen.
Right. Every image should be clickable to something to tell a story and get somebody engaged.
And things should not click back to your homepage all the time. So even in your emails, you mentioned a lot of homepage traffic.
Yes.
Click all the links in your emails from other providers. If they're linking to the homepage, you're missing something, because I bet every call to action is not about a homepage. It's probably going to a product or going to a service. So go specific to that page. That's also why you're getting bounces. People aren't finding what they want, so they're bouncing really easy.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, even in fraud, I mean, and you mentioned this, I mean, we have click fraud, we have traditional media fraud, and then you mentioned ROI. But talking about email marketing, what is the goal of the email? Is the goal of the email to get someone to click, or is the goal of the email to get someone to pick up the phone and call? And you have to have one goal, like TV commercials, you know, where we've, you know, some of the TV commercials, what's the goal of the TV commercial? I feel like they're all over the board. What is the goal? And we're seeing a lot of that. In fact, one of the websites we looked at, the bounce rate on the website, are you ready?
I'm sitting down already, so I can't do much more than
good,
that.
Okay, good, 97% bounce.
Yikes.
So, I mean, and you just got to think about that. 97% bounce. This company is doing a pay-per-click advertising, paid advertising. Mm-hmm. And the conversion of the paid advertising was like 0.14 or 0.17%.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, think about the money that you're spending, and not even 0.5% of these people are converting.
Most of them are leaving.
Yeah. So it's... You know, I just hear the cash register going cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-ching.
And we wonder why things don't work for us.
Yes, exactly. Well, they work for us.
Well, I mean us as business owners when we're not seeing progress.
Yes, exactly.
So what else when it comes to evaluation or other types of media we should be looking at?
Well, I think it's all different types of media. I mean, even outdoor advertising, like billboards, mm-hmm. buses. I mean, outdoor, I think, is one that you really need to look at. And a lot of times with outdoor advertising, you know, they talk about how many vehicles are coming by, you know, how many vehicles drive by. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you kind of think about it. Do you take it into consideration? Who are in those vehicles? And where your billboard's at. And a lot of times we just go by with billboard advertising. We say, what is our showing? We have mm-hmm. a showing of 50%, that we're reaching 50% of the market. But, you know, that we're putting billboards in a place that's a part of town that those individuals are never going to have. Not never. I mean, let me rephrase that.
Less than likely.
Less than likely to have the interest in your business.
So you got to think about like the kind of product, your location, traffic patterns, demographics. All of that really does play into a effect of the success of that billboard or awareness that it's creating, because it's really an awareness medium.
Yeah, it really is. And I mean, you know, so think about that. I mean, you know, and I'm very observant and I'll look at that, but you know, like I'm flying out at the airport and I see people that are doing airport advertising. I mean, what percentage of the population is just passing through that could mm-hmm. not do business with you? What type of business are you? What is the percentage of individuals passing through? What is the cost? So, I mean, you start to look at these things, you know, a whole other thing, like advertising in the cinema. I mean, I don't know when the last time is you went to see a movie.
I don't remember.
Yeah. So, I mean, so I'm kind of asking, you know, you didn't go see Spider-Man?
No. Really, honestly, the only time I ever go to the movies, to be honest, is when my husband needs to see a movie and I'll go with him. I think we saw some Marvel movie last. Can't even tell you what it was. Can't tell you when I went.
I didn't know Spider-Man was out. You know how I found out?
Facebook.
Yeah. So, I mean, but so you think about that advertising at the cinema, you know, how many individuals are even paying attention? How many of them are there that, you know, that are have their nose in the phone and they're focused on their phone?
Well, and what's the demographic?
Exactly.
Too? I mean, I used to go to the movies all the time as a kid, so you're not really going to sell me a car if you're advertising cars before the movie starts.
Yeah.
Wrong demographic.
Exactly. And I'm not saying any of this, again, I'm not saying any of this advertising is bad, but, you know, anytime you talk to a media company, they're all number one. But number one in what? Number one in plumbers that have left-hand monkey wrenches? Or number one in what? Are they number one in your demographic that's going to do business with you, or what?
So, and I mean, we're a marketing and advertising agency, so we do this stuff all day long. So it's definitely not bad, or we'd be out of business.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah.
But it's take it with a grain of salt and really look at what's happening. Look at the ROI. Look at who you're hitting. I think one thing we've really said a couple times in different ways is the goal and the audience. If you look at those two things a little bit more specifically, then you'll be able to see how you're getting return or why you're not.
Yeah. And the idea, I mean, so many times, you know, over the years, I've had business owners say, oh, well, then let's offer something free. Mention this commercial and we're going to give you something free. All right. Spoiler alert. That doesn't work. It just doesn't work. I mean, I'm sorry. It doesn't work. That's not a good indication. You might be on the best advertising platform ever for your business, and you put that measurement into it, and then you cancel it, and you canceled something that you should have been doing more of. Mm-hmm. So you have to be careful. There's other ways to track other than, hey, be sure that you ask for your, the pop-up light that goes in your closet that's battery operated.
So that brings us back to being able to take a look at this for your business. We are making a free offer for us to review in a click fraud report card how your advertising dollars are working for your business. So if you visit paulpotratz.com, go ahead and fill out that form and we'll be sure to be in contact with you to get that completed on behalf of your company. And I think that brings us to a really good transition for our team. So our team is the individuals that are going to be doing that for your business. business. But with that, we need to make sure that we're leading all of our teams and creating goals, KPIs, KRAs, and not making a subjective approach. Geez, we are tongue-tied today.
I know. More coffee.
Subjective approach to how we're doing that. So I think we should talk a little bit about what we do as an agency, how we can help create KPIs and KRAs for everybody listening.
I think it's a perfect topic and something that, you know, listen to it 3, 4, 5 times.
And it's a really good thing because you as an individual growing in a business, looking to further your career, need to know what these are to be able to grow and flourish in your position or increase and move to a new one. But also from a management perspective, you need these things to be able to effectively manage your team and provide feedback so they can grow. And then also find efficiencies and inefficiencies in what's happening on a daily basis.
And it will also reduce your turnover. I mean, and we did a study and we found out that depending on the business, when someone leaves, it can cost your company $20,000. So you kind of think about that, you know, if you have turnover, it's probably this problem.
And we talk about buzzwords, but millennials think that they should be promoted every 2 years. But the difference with that is it doesn't always mean compensation-based promotions. It usually means in the regards to a title change or additional responsibilities within an organization. So you can't do that if you don't have key performance indicators or key result areas, which is what KPI and KRAs mean. And then you're consistently giving feedback to your team.
Boy, you're stressing me out now.
Well, that's why I do that.
Okay, good. Whew. Good thing. All right, excellent.
So what are some ways that you found over the years this has helped our business grow and retain employees?
Well, I mean, just with the key performance indicators, I mean, so many times what happens is we will hire an individual, we put them in the seat and say, here, do the job. But there's no training program in place first. And then there's no, you know, how are you doing as you're going through the training? How are we making sure that the individual is getting better at this training program? I mean, and so many times what happens is we'll bring someone in, we'll put them in the seat, we'll have another employee train them, and that's the limit of their training. And I mean, we're talking about key performance and key result areas, but there's no, how are you doing? Because individuals like to feel like they won. So at the end of the day, they want to feel like they've accomplished something, they've won at something, or if they haven't won at it, they know how they can win at it the next time. But most managers are too busy, you know, putting out the fires and running around that they're not focused on their employees. They're focused either on their clients or whatever it is. But, you know, focus on your employees, because the only way someone can love, you know, love your company is you have to love it yourself first.
And if we're hiring based on core values and purpose within our company, we know those individuals align with our organization's goals. So then what we're able to do is just train them on the actionable items and things that they need to do within their daily responsibilities. And then as a manager, they can do them.
Yeah.
You know, like, so you have a team capable of doing it. You need to check in, though, so they're consistently doing it better and better.
Right. And how often should you be measuring their performance? I mean,
so I think it's important to kind of look at how your organization is structured to be able to see what's efficient for you. We do it on a quarterly basis. We moved to that about a year ago, and we found that it's the most productive way. And really, you should be meeting with your team periodically throughout the month. And then when you go to your review where you're talking about KPIs, KRAs, you'll find you're on the same page, because it should never be a surprise. When it's a surprise, there's a problem.
Right. So let's talk about that. So a lot of times it is a surprise. So, you know, one of the things that you do with the account managers is you have weekly one-on-ones.
Yes.
And it's so easy for a manager to get caught up and reschedule it, forget about it, reschedule it, and never do it. So what are some tactics that you take in the one-on-one to make sure that that's not a surprise when it comes time on the quarterly review?
So I have an agenda, and the employee has an agenda, and then we come with things that we want to talk about, feedback from the last week. I sit in on calls and go over that with them, but I actually do it right after their call, so it's fresh in their mind. And also making sure that we're talking every single week or every 2 weeks. And if I ever miss it, I apologize. Mm-hmm. Because it is a priority to invest and spend time with those team members. So if I can't make it, I reschedule it and make sure it happens at least every 2 weeks at a minimum.
Right. And when you travel, it's so we can do it on the phone, you can do it through email. There's a number of things the way you can do it. So, and it's just important that it happens, because it, you might think it's not important as a manager and just kind of excuse it. But then what kind of message are you sending?
And that's exactly it. So put it in your calendar. Remember to do it. And to help our audience, what we're going to do is have on the PaulPotratz.com website a example of a review document that goes over some KRAs that you can use to adapt to your business. So don't forget to change it. Just a couple recommendations that you can use. But if you missed any part of our conversation from the earlier half of today's show, you can find it on PaulPotratz.com as well. We'll be uploading every episode going forward to the PaulPotratz.com website. We're going to take a quick break for news, and then we'll be back for the business breakdown.
It's time for the business breakdown.
The 7-minute on-air consultation for you.
Call now for your free business consultation with Paul and Samantha. 1-855-POTRATS.
That's 1-855-768-7289.
Now, let's break it down.
So welcome back. We have our first caller for the business breakdown on the line. Andy, are you on the line with us?
I am. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for calling in. Let us know what your business is and what your question is for Paul this morning.
Sure. My business is Alpen House. You know, we sell RVs, boats, swimming pools, skis. And the question today, you know, I obviously Paul and I talk a lot over the years, and I see a lot of what you guys do. And one of the questions that I had was, I keep hearing him talk more and more about, you know, trying to do more about branding, selling lifestyle, sell more emotion, and, you know, how do you do that but also build a sense of urgency with the customers?
Okay. Hi, Andy. Good to talk to you this morning. So hopefully you're not training for a triathlon today.
I already got that done.
Okay, good. You got that accomplished. There you go. So this is, you know, talking about this question, I mean, there's a lot to cover on this question. You know, how do we, you know, with the brand, with the lifestyle, and then how do we have a call to action? And a lot of times in our industry as marketers, what we do so often is we get into using buzzwords. We love our buzzwords. And you go to any conference and all the speakers at the conference are using buzzwords. And you can just see this trend and how it just seems to, you know, move through time. Because it wasn't that long ago that I'm sure you would go to a conference and people were probably talking about using Craigslist. And Craigslist was a buzzword. Do you remember that time? Did you guys have that?
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, and then there was direct mail and how to do direct mail, you know, different types of interesting direct mails, and that was a buzzword of how to do that. So let me kind of explain, and I think the best way to explain is really to tell you a story. All right, so here we go. Sorry, Samantha. So I'm going to give you a story. And this is a true story. So I remember years ago, here I was a young guy. There was no way that I was ever going to be able to afford a Land Rover at that age. And I wanted a Land Rover so bad. And I don't know what spurred that, but I remember that Christy and I, we went to the Land Rover dealership, and this was in Pennsylvania. I think it was in Pittsburgh or something. But I remember going into this Land Rover dealership, and the guys in there, you know, they had their khaki shorts on, their khaki shirts, and they had their little boots. They all looked like they stepped out of the Outback. And I was waiting for a kangaroo to jump out or something. And so there was the lifestyle portion of it that these individuals were definitely into the lifestyle. And I remember him telling me all about, you know, the Land Rover and what it will do and how capable it is. And then they had this little off-road course where you drive over the rocks and, you know, it takes the Land Rover off canter and all that. And I remember being in that Land Rover and I was really envisioning the lifestyle of me being in the Outback and why I needed to own a Land Rover. So my point with lifestyle, so many times what we're doing when we're marketing with lifestyles, we're doing it the wrong way, that we need to turn that, really that messaging around where you're selling RVs and skis, of presenting that lifestyle, how an individual, you know, how a family can go out in an RV and they can enjoy the RV and they can have the best quality time, the best family time. And that allows people to envision that and see that and see themselves in that position. Then they end up buying an RV. Does that make sense what I'm saying?
Yeah, I pictured you in the Outback just describing that story.
Well, you should picture me today wearing my khaki shorts and my boots and... You know, we're going to go to Outback and have lunch. But So, I mean, to kind of bring that full circle, all of the marketers out there, what they're doing is they think a call to action has to do with price. But when you're doing that, if you're doing a TV commercial and then it's price, 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 you have to think about how many individuals are you ruling out? How many individuals they're not even thinking about it? So with something like TV advertising, that's a mass advertising, why not talk to the masses versus talking to a small percentage of the market that is ready to buy? Because if you're selling price, a lot of times you're giving up gross profit, but you're only talking to individuals that have already made up their mind that they are ready to purchase an RV. So to move that into full circle, 70 to 80% of your advertising, every business owner's advertising, should be based on content. We have to get into that content mindset, that content strategy, because something crazy happened called the internet. And we go to the internet to research. We don't go to the internet to shop. We go there to research and find out more. We're not quite ready to buy. So we're wanting to find out more. So think about the questions and, you know, ask your sales staff, what are the questions that individuals are asking or families are asking your salespeople, not having to do with price? Mm-hmm. And then you create a swipe file. Now that allows you to start creating all of this content. So now you're creating this content and you have this content on your website. You're putting this content in your social media. You're using this content in your TV commercials. And this is creating a massive database where people are coming to your website. It gives you the opportunity to retarget them. So they're seeing your messages with something that's not having to do with price. Because anytime we start talking about price, our heart rate goes up and we start to sweat because we're thinking, oh my gosh, I really don't want to spend the money. But anytime if you're developing content and you're talking about how it's going to be the best family experience ever, and then your content is helping, you know, hey, you can go on a vacation, but think of how much it's going to cost you in airfare and hotels and all that. So this is, I think, critically important. So now you build a massive database. And when the time comes to do a sales event, which, you know, once a quarter, your sales event is going to have more impact than anything else. And then with, you know, digital marketing and marketing automation, inbound marketing, it could make perfect sense because now your sales event wouldn't be done to the mass population. Your sales event would only be to the individuals that you're trying to close. Did that all make sense?
Yeah, no, great perspective on all fronts on that.
So I think Paul picked up the little Samantha speed there because he saw the clock ticking away. Andy, we thank you for your call, but we are out of time for your business breakdown section. So thanks for calling, and we look forward to talking to you again soon.
Thanks, Andy, and I'll see you soon.
Have a great day.
All right, buddy.
Bye. Take care. Bye-bye.
So if you are interested in calling into the business breakdown, give us a call at 855-POTRATS. That's 855-POTRATZ. But if you're a business owner, a manager, a leader looking to grow personally or professionally, the business breakdown is for you as well. It's not just for individuals who own or work within a business. So think about those questions you have for myself or for Paul going into leadership topics, management topics, other than just your marketing questions. And we'll take those in future upcoming sections of the business breakdown. We now have our second caller on the line. What's your name?
Katie Witt.
Hi, Katie. What company are you calling from and what is your question for Paul?
Well, our company, which it's a nonprofit, it's called Camp Hunt. It's a children's camp located in Hubbardsville, New York, middle of nowhere. And as a nonprofit camp, we depend on donations to meet our budget. The campers' fees don't even cover the, you know, bare minimum. So as a result, we cannot spend any money on marketing. Everything goes to just making sure the camp is up and running for the next summer. So how can we promote our summer kids camp effectively without sacrificing our budget?
Great question.
Well, I'm going to sound like a social media fanboy here, and I think I do this a lot. But, I mean, we all know social media. We all talk about social media. But I honestly see very few people that do it successfully. So, here, I'm going to go into a story. Are you ready, Samantha?
Hit me.
Okay, here we go. So, have you ever watched... Katie, have you ever watching TV and that commercial pops up where they either have children where they're telling a story and they're asking for a donation and it's
right.
A long form commercial, but
yeah.
It really tugs at your heartstrings or,
right.
And I'm not doing, I mean, let's talk about pets. Have you ever seen the one where they show the pets that are in the cages behind the bars
Sarah McLachlan song. Yeah.
Yep.
There you go. So, you know, really your best form of advertising, and I think this is in any business, any opportunity, and I mean, we always say that, is word of mouth. And I think everyone would agree with me, but they don't realize how to get it. So I don't know if there's any types of rules or regulations or, you know, in that matter, but I'm sure you could find some parents that would be willing to go on camera and talk about what the camp is doing for their children and how it's helping their children, you know, form into, you know, great adults. And then you could even go, how long have you been doing this camp? How many years?
I started when I was 8. So I'm in my, well, started when I was 8 and I'm older than 8 now.
Okay, good. Let's say you're old enough to drink and drive.
Yes.
Okay, good. So there you go. So why not find some, you know, some adults, and they talk about their experience, their life experience of what the camp did for them. And, you know, maybe they went to this camp for a number of years, and that becomes your entire strategy. And then I would say, okay, now you have all of this great video content, because I would do it in video, because anytime we have sight, sound, and motion, that's going to help you. And that's, you know, and, you know, why not even do audio and start building an email database? And I would just, you know, really simply build a database of individuals that went to the camp in past, send this video to them, you know, tag them on the video on Facebook and ask them to share it. But just, I mean, ask them, because a lot of times, you know, somebody will watch a video and it really tugs at their heartstrings and it really means a lot to them, but we just don't think to share it. And that's where you have to tell them, share it, please.
You know, how long would you make the video?
As long as it takes. So let's talk about video length. I think this is important because so many, you know, you think about it, the way we grew up when we were, you know, 8 years old, and a TV commercial would come on, and that TV commercial is 30 seconds, and we were wanting to get back to our show. So we often think that, boy, my language is just horrible there. But we often think that our videos should be like a TV commercial, and it's not a TV commercial. It should not be 30 seconds. It should not be 60 seconds. A video that's 12 minutes long is totally acceptable. And I mean, but think about it this way. You know, when you watch videos or you're watching a show, how long will you sit down and watch a show?
Mm-hmm.
30 right. minutes, an hour, and you're trying to get away from the commercials. But if you're creating good content, it's not a commercial. It's a resource to individuals to educate them, to entertain them. So it's again, it's not a commercial. And don't put it together the way of a commercial. Put it together the way of informative, and make sure what you're doing in that video is you're making it crystal clear in that video. What do you want them to do? It's great to watch a wonderful story, but you know, I would go onto YouTube and I would pull up videos from the ASPCA. I'd pull up videos from St. Jude. I'd pull up videos from, you know, the child's, you know, I forget what it's
called.
Yeah,
but so on that, what Paul's really mentioning is make the ask. So make sure that the theme of your video is whatever you're hoping to accomplish. So if the goal is to receive donations, you want to make sure that the video talks about the impact of the camp and the experience and so forth. But that video needs to contain the ask throughout the content, as well as in the text you use when you post it on social media, because the subliminal does not work. People are tuned out to that. We can't assume somebody's going to understand what we want anymore, which I think is, you know, the other reason you don't want to think in 30-second increments, because no story is complete in 30 seconds.
Right.
So, yeah, just make it crystal clear. What do you want? But have a good storyline. And don't spend a lot of time sitting around trying to script it and all that. Just let it flow. Just let it free flow. And you're going to make mistakes. But if you're not making mistakes, you're not trying hard enough. So just free flow. And, you know, there's no such thing as too long of a video, and there's no such thing as too many videos. I mean, just create a bank of them and reuse them. It's not like you always have to be creating more video content. I mean, you should easily be able to create 25 videos in a short amount of time, and you can reuse them and reuse them. And I wouldn't hold it just to, you know, Facebook per se. I would do shorts and I would do Instagram Live. Just understand, if you're using Instagram Live, where are you wanting to drive them to? Drive them to Facebook. To just have fun with it and just make a ton of noise. That's my point.
Perfect. Okay. I think that's easily achievable.
Yes, it is. Because then, again, just let people tell a story and don't try to guide the story, and you'll probably get some great information. And I'm sure you have some great stories since you started when you were 8 and now you're, what, 16?
Not 8.
So there you go. driving
age. I'm 39 now, so I've been going, almost every year since I was 8, and I'm 39.
So there you go.
Awesome. So you have good stories, and you have good stories of people who have once been there and have since moved on in life. So that's great. Yeah. Tell some stories, and thank you for calling the Business Breakdown. We appreciate your question today.
Thank you.
Thank you for your time. I appreciate it.
Thank you. So it's not too late, like Paul mentioned earlier. If you're interested in careers, maybe you want to elaborate a little bit on that? You can call into the Business Breakdown.
There you go. That's what I think.
Career advice?
Yeah, because, there's... I don't know what it is, but it seems like I've been talking to a number of friends lately, and they're bored in their career, and they're saying, how do I get another job? And they're scared to try to do it, mm-hmm. and they feel like there's so much competition, and they're holding themselves back.
It's so funny. We always talk about, are you willing to take a survey on Facebook? I've seen so many things from so many different articles and publications about, are you bored in your career? 6 things that are telling you need to make a change. So that's a really good opportunity for the Business Breakdown as well. If you're somebody who needs some career advice or some recommendations on what to do with your existing business.
Don't be getting any ideas,
career
Samantha.
Manager, I'm not going anywhere.
Okay, all right, good. Just Mike, don't be
I'm
getting any ideas.
I'm your partner in crime.
All right,
sweet. So. We have our third caller giving us a call, but don't forget you can give us a call at 855-POTRATS throughout the week and leave a voicemail with your question. We'll be taking them via voicemail, email, and live call-ins every week for the Business Breakdown, where we'll be able to answer your questions live on air with Paul.
What's that number again?
855-POTRATS.
All right.
Or as you prefer to say, 855-POTRATS with a Z.
Yeah, POTRATS with a Z. There you go.
So we have our third caller on the line, Waeed. Are you on the line with us?
Yeah, I'm here.
Thank you for calling in today for the Business Breakdown. Will you let us know what your business is and what your question is for Paul, please?
We run an Indian restaurant called Taj Mahal in downtown Schenectady.
Great. And what is your question about the restaurant business?
I wanted to know, we have 2 major revenue streams. One is our lunch buffet, the other is our dinner. How do I get more people to get more plates in our restaurant?
Well, good morning, Waeed.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning. All right, so you want more dinner reservations in your restaurant. So
that's
here's
correct, sir.
Okay, so here's the first question. Do you have an email database?
Well, do I have any what?
Do you have emails? Have you built an email database up?
No, unfortunately not yet.
Okay. All right. So this is what I would do. This is how I would start the process out is I would go to the local chamber and, they have, luncheons more or less where they'll bring people in for lunchtime meetings in that, those type of events. And I would let them know that you would be willing to be the sponsor of that lunchtime meeting. And I'm not saying you give the food away, but you tell them that more or less you're going to do it at a discounted price. Offer it at a discounted price and make sure that, how the lunch is being served. I wouldn't just drop it off and be done. I would make it an experience and let them know that you want to make this an experience, that you're going to intro the food, you're going to talk about it, you're going to give some, some interesting...
Give an experience.
Yeah, give an experience. Give some interesting information about the food, the recipe.
The context behind it. Is your business family-owned?
Sorry?
Is your business a family-owned business?
That's correct, Miss.
So that's a great example. You can tie that into it. People love stories. You can tell a really great story with a family-owned business.
Tell about the origin of the dish that they're actually eating, how it is. I mean, try to make it quick because keep in mind they're going in there for a meeting. But you want to make sure that they get to experience the food, the culture, and then they have the takeaway more or less. And just start doing those. And I would, by all means, make sure that all those individuals in there that you would say, hey, I want to get your email address. Let me get your mobile number. I'm not going to call you. But what we're going to do is we're getting ready to launch our menu, our recipe that we're going to send a recipe. And I'm not saying you give away your family recipes, but I'm saying that you're sharing the information about the food and you're in their inbox every single week. And I know this sounds like a lot of work, but you can sit down on a Sunday morning or a Saturday morning and you can type up emails. You could, put these emails together, 4 or 5 emails, and now you're done for the entire month. That would be the direction I would go.
Okay.
find some, you know, not just the chamber, but, you know, reach out to, you know, like General Electric, reach out to Simmons, reach out to the Schenectady Metroplex, because they all have, you know, meetings.
Even the Biz Lab, there's a Biz Lab in downtown Schenectady. Let them know that you're available to host events or meetings or even cater at their facilities. That can be another revenue source if you're interested in that, but if it's local.
Yeah. And I would even throw a spin into it. I mean, you know, I'm sure you have someone that's, you know, a fanboy of the Taj Mahal or a fangirl that they absolutely love the food and they have some extra time. You give them some, you know, give them a script and give them some menus and put them out. And you say, I want you to go to this place, this place, this place, and bring business cards back.
Another thing with that, too, is you probably have a lot of local business people that come in often. Give them a menu to leave with to put in their office. We, for example, have a bulletin board in our office of local restaurants that you can order from. That top of mind awareness within an organization is going to be powerful as well.
Sure. And thank you so much for your helpful hint.
Do you do any type of like rewards program? I know that's something a lot of restaurants have started over the years.
Yeah, you know, I have like a card where, you know, we do like every meal they come, we do a punch, and after 10 punches, they get a free lunch buffet.
Oh, that's great. So what, like off of Paul's idea with getting phone numbers and emails, you should make an ask. So you're giving them something and thanking them for being a part of your business, but also collect their email, phone number, and name when they get a card. Now that's how you can build up that database over time, aside from just going outside of your existing customer base, because your existing customers are going to be your biggest advocates.
Okay, good idea.
And these
I didn't think about it.
Yeah, and
thanks for making me aware of this. I'll start doing that.
Yeah, and these are all really simple ideas. The hardest part about it is saying, I just don't really have time. I've got to do all of the things that it takes to run my restaurant, run my business. So it's just important that you put it on your calendar, you know, at a time that's kind of a downtime, and just schedule a couple hours and, you know, focus on it and just get it done and just do it and write it out and just make sure that every week that you're focused on it. So many times in business, what happens is we get into the business working on our business and we completely forget about our marketing because we went into business to do what we do. You know, that we love cooking. We love creating wonderful recipes. We love creating, you know, wonderful food. And that's what we're passionate about. But marketing is a necessary evil. And a lot of times we just like, you know, put our head in the sand and forget about it because we just say we don't have time. But, you know, you just have to do it. You just have to grind through it. So there you go. I hope that helped. Thanks for calling.
Definitely. You're giving me some new idea that, you know, I have not focused on. I'm highly grateful to you for this.
So it's really easy enough. I mean, so Taj Mahal and Schenectady and
we'll
wonderful
see you soon.
Food.
Yeah. Sounds delicious.
Have lunch there. There you go.
Thanks, Wade, for your call today.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for your advice.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
So that's our final caller in the business breakdown today. But you mentioned something in that, Paul, that really resonated with me and kind of flows really nicely into our next topic. You said working on your business is something that we sometimes forget to do because, well, there's so much else going on. But one thing we want to talk about is evaluations for success within our business and for our team. And that's something we need to do. We need to consistently look at what we're spending money, where we're putting our time and our effort, and evaluate everything that's going on. So that's our action item of the week that we're going to leave our audience with.
There you go. So I mean, you think about it, evaluating what, though? There's so many things to evaluate. So, I mean, let's put some clarity into that.
So clarity in that, I believe, comes from two things. So we're talking about two action items. One, we talked earlier in our leadership topic about not subjectively evaluating your team, but needing to provide feedback, evaluations, and growth plans. So that way, within your organization, you can encourage development, which will help management and owners of companies be able to work on their business, not in their business.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
So that's one.
Right. There's the first one. And, you know, so and we'll get into that in a minute. But what is the second one?
Well, the second one is where we talked in the last two episodes about click fraud and the whole concept of knowing what your dollars are doing. And so needing to consistently look at where you're spending advertising and marketing money and effort and identifying what it's doing for you, being educated on your initiatives, essentially.
Right. Making sure you're not wasting your money. So let's dive into where we're talking about evaluating your team, not being subjective. I mean, there's been so many times that I've talked to a manager or a business owner or even someone that works somewhere and they thought that their job was in jeopardy. And the word that often comes up is chemistry, that I just don't think we have the right chemistry. If you ever say that to anybody, you're stupid. I mean, I'm just going to be frank. I'm going to be bold. You are stupid. You are holding yourself back. You're holding that individual back. That's where, you know, like what we do. Let's talk about that. KPIs, key performance indicators, mm-hmm. and KRAs, key result areas. And I think this is one of the hardest things for managers to do. But as if you're evaluating and, you know, a team member, it needs to be black and white.
And it also cannot be based on yesterday. I think that's the other fail, honestly, yes. is we think about what happened last week, not what's happened since the last time we had this conversation. So it's really important you keep a log of everything, positive, negative, areas for improvements. Mm-hmm. And so this week on paulpotratz.com, one of our downloadable items is a KPI worksheet that you can use in adapt to your business. So it's just going to be a basis to get you thinking about how you can implement this process in your business starting today.
Yeah. And managers struggle with it. It's really hard because they try to put too many things in there. That's the first mistake they make. Mm-hmm. And then the second mistake, like what we're really talking about, is it there's not a way to score it. And it has to be a clear, identifiable. Thank you. So I need more coffee. Mm-hmm. A way to just score it. And then when you score it, you need to give, you know, black and white examples. Where yes. did they perform well? Where did they not perform well?
So if you don't have a comment section, go ahead and add that in, because without context, nothing makes sense.
Right, exactly.
And then the second thing we were talking about was back to our click fraud comment and knowing what your dollars are doing. So on paulpotratz.com, there is a free report card you can have done by our team members over at the agency, where we'll be able to look at what your advertising dollars are doing. And if there are any areas of concern for either fraud or misrepresentation in analytics, or honestly, just bad ROI.
Yeah. And I mean, we started talking about this on last week's show, and it's amazing the response that we've received from business owners saying, oh my gosh, take a look what I'm doing. And the amount of waste that we're finding is just mind-boggling. There's this one bot that keeps on hitting all of these SEM campaigns across the board. I'm not going to say the name. Mm-hmm. We'll say it off air. But this bot is amazing, the amount of thousands of dollars that we've already uncovered that it's wasting. So
visit paulpotratz.com to find those two downloads that'll be able to utilize for your team, whether it in management or in your advertising dollars. This week on the Paul Potratz Show, we talked about click fraud, how it's not just about digital marketing, how you can lead your team without a subjective approach with KPIs, an evaluation for success in our downloadable items for the week. And don't forget, if you missed any part of today's show, you can find the recording on paulpotratz.com, and you can also follow us along in our weekly conversations at Paul Potratz's Facebook page. So go ahead and log on to Facebook, take a search for Paul Potratz, and find the fan page. We'll be sure to continue the conversation offline throughout the week.
You've been listening to the Paul Potratz Show. Paul is the architect behind Potratz Advertising, an international consulting and advertising agency based in Schenectady, New York.
For more info or to learn how to work with Paul and the Potratz team to grow your business and improve your processes, visit paulpotratz.com. That's Paul, P-O-T-R-A-T-Z.com.
And join Paul and Samantha next Sunday morning at 11, right here on WGY.